evening and welcome inside the Better Clubhouse on this Tuesday, April 15th, live from Ferg Sports Bar and 19th Old Clubhouse Studios, brought to you as we are each week by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, Sea Dogs Brewing, serving breakfast daily, and Michelob Ultra and Ultra Zero. This is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. Check us out on Spotify on the Tampa Bay Podcast Archive, part of Radio St. Pete. I am Christian Champ Sharp, part of your clubhouse crew tonight, joined this week, as I am each and every week, with my brother from another mother, Sammy Sharps. How are we doing on this Tuesday after the Masters hangover, we'll call it? We gave everybody a little breather on Monday, but how are we stepping into the clubhouse tonight, Sammy?
Yep, it's great. Thanks for having me on. It's an interesting Tuesday. It's tax day. It's the start of the NBA playoffs. I mean, the Rays just scored like 16 runs last night, so it's definitely an interesting day, to say the least. Masters-wise, yeah, there's still the Rory hangover. I mean, how awesome was that? Just especially the last 2 hours. It was just phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, we have to give a shout-out to Joe on the controls. We popped his Augusta Cherry for the Masters there. Got his first one. I mean, that was a hard one to top there, as I wrote in the newsletter this week. I have it easily in my top five, maybe in my top three there, all-time Masters 2025. We're going to look back that for years on years of just Rory going the bonkers that happened on that back nine that we'll definitely cover here in the first 20 minutes of the Better Clubhouse. But before we do that, have to have everybody go on and sign up for our newsletters. Like aforementioned there, we send out one on Mondays. Actually sent out two already. We outdid ourselves this week already. Sammy, we'll do another one for the patrons tomorrow, Wednesday, recap this show along with all our bets and all the good stuff. We got two tournaments this week to cover, so that newsletter will be packed to the gills there. Just go on the Better Clubhouse, BETTOR, betterclubhouse.substack.com. Sign up for those free newsletters. Get your new notifications on X and Instagram and all those good places as well. Follow myself on Champs311 on X and then Sammy AV Bets on X as well. And that's how you're going to be the best way to get notifications, get up-to-date information, and obviously tune in Radio St. Pete and check out Spotify and see what we got right, what we didn't, as we look back each week here on the Better Clubhouse. So, Sammy, as we just kick our feet back and just soak in what we actually witnessed for a number of hours. I've talked to plenty of people saying, I forgot to cook dinner. I forgot what time it was. I hope I'm definitely not as hammered as probably as Rory's feeling right now walking into work yesterday and today. I think a lot of people are probably happy they didn't have a body cam on them as they were sweating it. I think I laughed out loud just in a nervous laugh like five times as we saw putts go in and out. Holy mackerel shots from, just up and down that crazy Sunday. Sammy, what kind of sticks out in your mind, obviously, as Rory McIlroy completes the career Grand Slam? Shout out to Rory on that. Shout out to Rory for giving my top 10 another winner. We needed that one, so thank you, Rory, for that. I definitely didn't have Justin Rose in my mix there. But just overall, what's your sense, Sammy, from what we saw at the 89th Masters?
I thought the composure from Rory was top-notch. I mean, even coming into the Masters, in his pre-tournament interview, he talked about, you know, while there is the weight of the golf world on his shoulders, he just tried to approach it as another tournament like he did every year. He felt his game was in the best all-around spot that it's been in quite some time, maybe ever. Those are his words. So seeing him come through and maintain that composure in the final round, when the going got tough, I mean, he was the first player ever to win the Masters with four double bogeys on the weekend. He had two the first day, dropped him down to even. Even though he was like six strokes off the lead, he was still only 15-1 in the live market. So the odds makers trusted him to come back. He fired an awesome second round. And every time he made a mistake on Sunday, he bounced back with it with an even more incredible shot in a good way. And obviously that the missed putt on 18 brought everybody's like what was that, the U.S. Open, the horrors of the U.S. Open from last year. But, yeah, I mean, going to the playoff, I didn't feel like Rose really had much of a chance. He had been off the range thinking about it for a while, off the course, I mean, and coming back and having all the cameras and pressure on you, riding the cart back to the tee and everything. I don't know, but I was just really impressed from Rory all around. I was impressed that Bryson was even in the final pairing. He talked about how his game was kind of in shambles coming into the Masters, how he was trying to find things with different driver heads. So I commend him for playing very well, but he obviously kind of fell apart. He had a chance there at the beginning, and he kind of choked it away more than Rory almost did.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we think, I mean, I just remember here at Ferg's being on the Tee Florida on Thursdays, catch that on the Tampa St. Pete radio network, and seeing Rory chip it into the water on 15. And then seeing him make a double on 17 and be like, oh, God, here we go again. What have we done, right? And then for him to shoot that 66 on Friday to put him right self back in the mix, shoot that 66 on Saturday and be like, oh, man, let's strap in. He's minus 200 to win, and everybody knew not to touch minus 200, right? We didn't know that a double was coming on the first. Even Rory himself said, man, I was nervous as hell, right? I know what I'm about to step into, and hit him right in the mouth. Obviously makes, you went 6-5 on the first two holes there. Gives up the lead. Bryson takes the lead. We think, oh, here we go again. And just like you said, just the bounce back that he was able to do. I mentioned this on X after the night. I have to give out my apologies to none other than Harry Diamond, right? This guy, Caddy, they imagine that they had to talk to him. I didn't realize he knew Rory since 7 years old, just on the local course over there. So shout out to Harry. Definitely I felt those in the press room saying, hey, how do you feel about Harry? And it felt like Rory was talking to me. Like, for the people that don't know golf, Rory, I know a little bit of golf, please. But yes, that was definitely pointed in that direction of the heat that Harry got. I didn't think Harry could manage his way around Rory. Some of the shots that Rory hit, like that shot on 6 over the trees where he just like, his swing speed on that was probably 150. He almost holed it from the fairway. Yes, he did miss the putt. but then you think about, like you mentioned on Justin Rose. I think even to get into that playoff with 10 birdies on a Sunday at Augusta, you write down that number, you're up there. You probably win, right? I mean, a lot of the time there. And then for him to know Rory, he hears those Rorys, Rory roars there that are all around Augusta because really there's no leaderboard, there's no phone and that sort of thing. You just have to listen in the pines to feel it. He knew something was happening. He gives that shot away on, I believe it was 17 with his chip shot there. And he's like, I need to go out and get this. He hits the Phil Mickelson putt on 18. We've seen it a number of times up the hill, drains it, and just gives his nod to his father. Great moment there. I don't know what those patrons are doing on the driving range watching Justin Rose hit balls. I mean, if you got a Masters ticket, I don't know who said it, but take away that badge. But, I mean, unless you're in the Rose family or you are, like, diehard platinum MasterCard holders, what are you doing on the driving range with Rory McIlroy coming up the 72nd hole about to have history in the making? Like, I mean, maybe you just love TV and want to be on there and be memorized of, like, man, these people really stood their ground there. But, yeah, that was there for Bryson. I mean, to come out and say Rory McIlroy didn't talk to me was interesting take there. I'm not sure what he kind of meant for that.
There's a longer video of that. I think the snippet of that was taken out of context.
Good. I'm glad we got some fact checks here on the Better Clubhouse. Always looking to do that. But I think he's happy. Bryson's happy that Rory won because otherwise we'd be talking about what Bryson did on Sunday. But he mentioned that he was kind of ham and egging it around there. But didn't really have the game. I think he showed game on the first two holes. I mean, I think he showed nerves and was able there. Him not being top live player, I mean, can we give the patrons some tequila and hit the bar after missing that one? Another one would be Ludvig Åberg going double are bogeying 17 and then, what, four putting? And then just chipping it around the green, left, right, and center on 18?
Imagine having a top five on Swede.
Oh, that man. That might be a double. That's a double Patron. You're taking the worm. You're taking the whole shot there. Come on down to Furyk's tonight, and I'll treat you to a beverage if you have either one of those bets. I did think about Patrick Reed, player early in the week. He was 14-1. If you could probably get a hell of a odds on that going into Sunday there. Overall, I ranked, looking back at it, I have Rory. I still think 1997, Tiger's approach to that and him winning in a historic fashion there has got to be number one for me. Jack Nicklaus, 1986, yes, sir, the Golden Bear. Is life in the old barrel yet? In 1986, up there for me. And then I got to put Rory McIlroy. I think he's third on my list there. He is battling. Maybe I'll go T3 because you got to go T3 for the GOAT of Tiger Woods and just what he had to do coming back in 2019. Yeah. I think the hug of Charlie on the back of the green, what he was able to do. Unfortunately, I had something there, some illness. I was stuck on the couch. So that's why it gets a little downgrade for me, but also a shout-out to Molinari coming down there as well. Plenty of drama. That's what we love about Augusta National, especially on a back nine on Sunday. I wish the pin on 16 would have been down in the bowl on Sunday, but that's just me. The holdout from Patrick Reed on 17, being like, what just happened? Where did my ball go?
Yeah. where is it?
and I think also up there is 2015. And I was kind of thinking about this too, Sammy, just 20 and 15. I don't think it was a great round per se, but obviously we remember a lot. We think back to Tiger's chip on 16, Nike commercial. Shout out to, how am I forgetting his name? Shout out to how he finished second there. The name is slipping my mind. That's a bad, that's an old man moment there. But I think of that shot. I actually, and I'm curious your thoughts here, and if you had a chance to go back, I know you were only 12 at the time there, Sammy. In 2004, it reminded me a lot of that tournament. And the good thing about Augusta, you can go back and watch all these final rounds and see every single shot and do all that. What you might want to do, Sammy, is go out and check out Nick Dunlap's first round shots. That'll make you feel good about your golf game. Holy smokes, that 90 you put up there. But I think in 2000...
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yeah. I just am flabbergasted by this. Do you want to guess who was the first round leader in 2004?
Oh, my. Masters? You're really testing me here. It was none other than Justin Rose?
Yeah, it was Justin Rose.
Look at that. Oh, incredible. Incredible. I mean, and I showed you the text earlier. I think my tradition of texting my friends is Justin Rose, first round leader at Augusta. And I think a lot of the people that made money last week wasn't on Rory McIlroy 6-1 to win the Grand Slam, but it was on Justin Rose 80-1, 100-1 to first round leader. Shout out to all the MasterCard holders out there and Justin Rose backers there. Also, shout out to Justin Rose for the classiness in that press conference. Loved it from the cabin in the basement of Butler Cabin there. Also coming out, just a classy guy. But in 2004, I think it was very memorable there. Phil Mickelson's first green jacket and first major, of the heartbreak that he felt around Augusta and to finally make that putt to jump about 6 inches in the air. Always a good one there. Just your final thoughts there, Sammy. And have you had a chance to go back into that 2004? And just what are your most memorable Masters if you had to go through?
Sure. So I haven't gone back and looked at the 04 one. I know we talked about that. I need to do that because I'm very interested. Like you said, I was younger when Phil was kind of in his heyday, and I didn't really get super into at least PGA golf until right before COVID, at least from a sports betting perspective. So I'm a little late to the party in that sense, but Masters-wise, oh, man. I had a Scotty ticket when he won his first Masters, so I reminisce on that one. I know that's kind of a boring answer, but this year just really takes the cake for me. It was between that and 2019 Tiger from a perspective of what I've watched as a golf fan, and that was pretty incredible.
I think with that Scotty win back in, I believe it was 2022, and I was going back in the Master and kind of as I was doing a recap just of the major of the Masters last couple years, Scotty was a runaway. John Rahm was a runaway. Scotty was a runaway. I know I had a Cam Smith ticket that year when Scotty holed out on three, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, here we go. Sorry, I just gave some. So I think those have been runaways. When the most memorable Masters, obviously, when we have it back and forth, 2019 with Molinari leading, Tony Finau being right there. Last year, I think, was memorable with Max Homa. Shout out to Max coming back. Holy smokes, I did not have him. That's another sincere apology to Max Homa's golf swing. I don't know what he found there. I'm actually looking at you, Max Homa, this week. This course should fit. I'm curious to see if his golf swing is still there. I did not see him coming with the top 10 finish there as well. Oh, and the name was Chris DeMarco. Sorry, Joe, that's a Florida Gator. Yeah. That's why that name slips my mind so much. Shout out to Chris DeMarco. Always plays well around Augusta a number of times there, finishing second in the well-known Nike commercial there, probably the bestseller as well.
For what it's worth, I thought the 2020 year was interesting from a different perspective. Before he went to LIV, I was a huge DJ fan.
Yeah.
And I really like betting DJ on, like, the Carolina courses and in the Southeast region. Him winning that Masters, that was also kind of a runaway, but him winning that Masters was cool just because COVID was kind of going away a little bit. Sports were coming back. It was a different time of year, so it was a different dynamic on the course. I thought that was memorable for not in the way that Rory and Tiger were, but just memorable for a different reason.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the first ever time that minus 20 was ever hit at Augusta National.
Yep.
And I think it's got to have an asterisk on it there just because it played in November due to COVID.
Yep.
Different time of year, fall, and that sort of thing. But as we see DJ, and if you go back and watch 2004, you'll see a young DJ playing the golf tournament. You'll see these guys, and it is one of the stickiest course history as we got the Kentucky Derby coming up in just a short weeks. That is a true course for horse. See, course, it does take a lot to get over the hump and to get that green jacket to do it. But yeah, it's a true, every year, always fun to see. And you know what is always fun? Listening to the, as you are each and every Tuesday here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. This is the Better Clubhouse live from 19th. Where are we at, Joe? 13th and Central, downtown St. Pete. The Champa Bay's hitting hard here as I try to recoup from a 80th, 9th Masters here. Down here, 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of the old gray lady with her top off at Tropicana Field. And just come on down every Tuesday, 7 to 8. Tonight is Taco Tuesday night, $3 tacos. Always hit the spot. Get yourself a Champa Bay as well and hit yourself a rodeo. I think we got a live band down here tonight. We got a little festive crowd trying to wake us up. As we just, we got the Rays playing, as you mentioned. We got plenty of sports. Looks like we got some Golf Channel action going on as well. A little NCAA going on there. Plenty of baseball, plenty of stuff. As you mentioned, NBA playoffs. We got the play-in starting up as well. So plenty of action. Come on down here and see us. Just in that first little segment, just recapping the 89th Masters. Next year being the 90th. So that'll be a fun one to look at as we look forward to. And also, next week, Sammy, just looking ahead here in the schedule, obviously this week we got RBC Heritage, one of our fondest tournaments. We both have had a number of winners here at this course. We got two tournaments, so we got the opposite field over in Dominican Republic and Punta Cana at Corrales over there as well. It's got some names that we like, got a couple guys there. And then next week we head to Zurich, known as the Rory McIlroy and Sugar Shane Lowry karaoke show down there in New Orleans. And also we'll be prepping on this show on the Better Clubhouse. We'll have Bob Bauer on the show of Radio St. Pete. He's been doing a number of shows there and picks. He'll be on Talking the Derby. He was the PR director for Tampa Bay Downs Racetrack down here in St. Pete for a number of years. He's excited to get on, help us, Sammy, try to figure out and handicap the horses and the jockeys and the field track and do all that good stuff, and hopefully have him on for when we get back for the 100th, for the centennial of Tampa Bay Downs starting in November, and that'll run all the way through May. So looking forward to that conversation next week as well. Try to give Sammy a little break from team action there next week. But before we get there, Sammy, we got two tournaments to break down. Looking forward to it. Obviously, we got the signature event, number 5 of number 8 on the season. Why don't we step out onto the patio of the clubhouse this week, proudly sponsored by Coca-Cola, Body Armor, and Chichi Rodriguez Golf Clubbing and Academy, and give the patrons just a little glimpse of what we're looking at is one of places, I think, possibly a course that you've played. And it is public in Sea Island there in Harbortown and Hilton Head. So why don't you give the patrons just a patio preview there?
Sure. We're at Harbortown Golf Links in Hilton Head. I have not played this course. I played Frederica in Sea Island, but near there. But we're at Harbortown Golf Links in Hilton Head. It is a signature event, which means there's no cut. It's not one of those named events where there's, you know, maybe 10 or 15 players cut. There's not going to be a cut this week. It is a Pete Dye design. So it's positional, a lot of emphasis on the second shot. This is a Carolina setup, so it's going to be a little bit different, actually a lot of bit different than Augusta. Augusta is going to be wide open, sprawling fairways. Hilton Head, Harbortown is very narrow fairways, a lot of tree-lined fairways. It opens up towards the back of the 18, you know, that infamous coastline 18th hole with the lighthouse that's so picturesque. That's there, but most of these fairways are very narrow. The greens are the second smallest greens on tour. The driver usage, because of the positional aspect of the positional layout, a lot of dog legs. The driver usage is 15% below tour average here. You need to be accurate over distance. Not only do you need to hit the fairway, but you need to hit the right spot of the fairway. A lot of those positional shots into the small greens are blocked by trees, depending upon what side of the fairway you're on. So not only hitting the fairways, but hitting those targets on certain spots of the fairways is going to be crucial this week. Birdie to bogey ratio is much higher than tour average, about 10% higher than tour average. So you're going to see a lot of birdies and less bogeys than you're used to seeing. And there's fewer three putts here than tour average, obviously, because the greens are so small. But it's going to be a different makeup of the type of player that we targeted last week. I mean, we wanted bombers last week. We want guys with distance that obviously can do a lot of things around the greens and on approach at an elite level. We need those iron play at elite level this week, but we don't need the bombers. We need guys that are solid with their long or mid to long irons. They need to be good around the greens because inevitably you're going to miss the greens here. The GIR percentage is much lower than tour average because the greens are so small. So you're looking more than 50% of those shots coming from 150 to 200. I'm not sure where I value putting in relation to around the green and approach play. Maybe you can fill me in on how you feel about that. But I'm looking strongly at guys who are very good on approach play, very good tee to green, and reliable around the greens.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking, you made a great point. I think this is a totally different course compared to Augusta. Actually, I think Corrales is more of your bomber track, as we'll look at in the back end of the show. So if you're looking for bombers there, here it's very positional. I actually think if you're in the St. Pete area, I think a course that's hits home with the Valspar is a good composite course there. Florida type, on the coast, you got tree lined. You're going to have to position it. The big thing about Harbortown to me is, to your point, very positional off the tee. I think some people are going to hit it over trees into par fives and that sort of thing. I also know that this is one where you could drop a ball into the fairway and pretty much everybody's playing from the same spot. I mean, within a very small there. So as you mentioned there, a premium on approach play. When you talk about putting, I think this is one, and correct me if I'm wrong, one of the smallest greens on the PGA Tour that these boys see, correct?
Yeah, second smallest.
Yeah, so when I think of that, I think of if you're hitting the greens, you're probably giving yourself a decent chance at putting. Yeah. When I think of the past winners here, obviously Scottie Scheffler last year, 2 years ago, was Brace-Face himself, Matt Fitzpatrick. I believe we were on that over Jordan Spieth. Prior to that was Jordan Spieth in a playoff over Patrick Cantlay. I believe we were on that as well. And then Stuart Sink actually beating Colin Morikawa in the final round and actually ran away with that one. When I think of those names, I actually think of decent putters, actually, as far as winners. When I look at the odds board, and the thing about Heritage as well, just for the patrons out there, this has not always been a signature event, right? This used to be the who's who plays after Augusta and trying to get money and that sort of thing. It never used to be really that course. It was the course after Augusta, right? A lot of people played it, that sort of thing. I remember back in the day, Wesley Bryan won this. I think I had him at like 60-1. So it's just recent that guys have really taken into Heritage. I think it's an interesting course. I think it opens up –
We're at Augusta, Sammy. I probably had 10, 15 players that could win that tournament. Obviously, we had Rory and Scotty up top. Congratulations to you for picking him in our one-and-done contest. I see that you definitely Speedy Gonzalez me and got me up there with that $4 million paycheck, even though Scotty got me over $1 million. This week, I think probably 50 players could win, to be honest. Just who's got the approach, and that's what happens when you kind of limit off the tee game. So sorry, Ludwig Oberg, and sorry, and those type of Min players Lee. That and Minwoo Lee, exactly. This is more approach in those buckets and that sort of thing. Also, the odds kind of represent that. In my breakout on the newsletter there, four of the past 15 winners. So this obviously goes back beyond that, but four winners in that 25-1 and fewer. Majority coming in that 26 to 50 range, and then five winners from the 50 plus range. So it just goes to show, I think, and also weather plays a big factor. I think anything from minus 10 and fewer, it's actually been two times that's happened here. Mid-range score, majority of the time 11 to 15, and then 16 plus. Sammy, what's kind of your prediction on winning score here? Because I think that kind of has to lean me one way or another based on the type of player I think that either can go low for four rounds or three rounds. So what is kind of your score projection there?
So of the past four winners, two of them hit minus 19, Scotty and Stuart Sink. Fitzpatrick was at 17 and Jordan was at 13. As I look at the weather here, I see some gusts, but majority of the weekend, if not the entire playing weekend, is going to be under 20 mile an hour gusts as of this point. Obviously, we want to check into this with each round if you're playing showdown or tomorrow night before making your bets. But as of right now, I think we could probably get to minus 18, I would say, if the wind kicks up a little bit. And the one thing, it's not going to be super hot. Some of the mornings are going to be chilly, or relatively chilly for Carolina Coastal. So maybe 15 range, but I like minus 18 as a number this week.
Sammy, I'm going to set the line at us here because I pictured 15 to 17 for me. How about a line of 17.5? You going over that for a friendly Better Clubhouse patron bet here?
Yes, I am. I'll go over that.
Let's do it. And if I can do that, then I'll have we'll have to put on a derby winner or do something after. I know you're going to take off next week just for the Zurich. But we'll make something fun for the patrons. Have him do something. I don't know what we'll do. But we'll figure out something there for that. So 17.5, I'm taking the under. So under meaning 17 under par or fewer. Sammy's taking 18 or more there on that side. So, Sammy, as we do that, and people, we have this in the newsletter as well, and I kind of wrote up this, and this also goes speaks to it being a non-signature event beforehand, but people are probably very curious, Sammy, of Masters, and does that performance at Augusta, good or bad, translate to what the winner does here? Obviously, we could see Scottie Scheffler going back-to-back last year, winning Augusta and the Green Jacket, and then coming here and winning there. But is there any correlation between Masters performance and coming in into Harbortown?
So it's interesting. Like you depicted in our newsletter on Monday, yesterday, that 9 of the last 15 winners here either missed the cut or did not play in the Masters. But the last four winners since the COVID year, so not including the COVID year, just 21 and on, three of those four winners were in the top 12 of the Masters. The only missed cut, I believe, one year was Jordan.
Yeah.
And Jordan was top two in the next two. So take for that what you will. I don't really know if there's anything there.
Yeah.
But I think with the signature event elevation, maybe you want somebody who's in form that was at least maybe top 20 range at the Masters. But there are some good golfers that didn't make the cut, like Russ Henley.
Let's dive right in there, Sammy. I think that's a great name that comes up for me. I think he is a Georgia boy. We thought that he played well. Obviously, distance for me had him. I said, if you go back and go on Spotify a week ago, I said, hey, don't pencil in Scott, Russ Henley this week. I said this week, right, Sammy? I said, let's put him off and let's play him at Heritage. I think this is a much better track for him. And I'm kind of curious that as well. For somebody like Russ Henley, who didn't play well on Thursday but played very well on Friday, just to miss the cut, I actually think if you miss cut I think there is a psychological thing to Augusta. You have somebody like, I don't know, for instance, who's been under the gun all weekend. I'm not going to say Rory, but let's just say, for instance, Patrick Reed was playing, right? He's not, obviously, okay, a live player, but for him to be under the gun, second to last pairing, he didn't win, but he was trying to, like, get that top finish right there, right? So he's out there grinding, doing all that sort of thing.
Corey Connors.
Great pick there. Yeah. He didn't play well. I think he shot 75 on Sunday. But, so yeah, that's a great pick. He's actually in my top 10 and was a name I circled. But yeah, give me your thoughts on Russ Henley for the players there. Because I know that was a player that you had circled to do a deep dive for the patrons there.
Yeah. So I think the big thing about Russ Henley is he's the exact type of golfer that you want at this course. He's elite off the tee. He finds fairways even in difficult conditions, and he can score. He's third in the field in birdie or better percentage. And we saw that in the second round last weekend, which, I mean, if you're going to miss the cut and you're going to have a bad round and a good round, I want the good round to be the one right before you miss the cut, because then you can maybe, hopefully, ride that momentum into the next weekend. I'm sure he was working on his game to try to figure out what went wrong in the first round and get that worked out. I mean, he may not hit all the small greens. His greens of regulation is one of the lower rated stats in the model that I had this week, but he's top 32 in almost all, in every single stat category that I ran a model for, and he's only one of two golfers that pertains to this week, and the other one's Scotty. And so he's up there.
Yeah, and the one thing that I will say, and I try to do this, and that's why I mentioned those, so the composite courses this week for me, are Austin Country Club. People might not know that course because the PGA Tour decided to exclude match play tournaments. So that right there. But the second highest for me, and anytime you put this course together, I think of Russ Henley, and that's the Sony Open at Wailea Country Club, right? Another focus on off the tee, approach game, make your putts. Just, I'm going to list off the courses, the comp finishes for Russ Henley, looking at that. Looking at Harbortown, obviously, finishes. We're looking at Sony. We're looking at Valspar, as I mentioned, at Innisbrook. And we're also mentioning Wailea. Here are those finishes there, Sammy. 1, 2, 4, 4, 6, 6, 9, 9, 10, 10. And I could go on. 11, 12, 13, 13, 17, 19. Yes, these are not your Florida Lottery winning numbers tonight, but those are winning numbers. And that shows just the type of why I kind of predicted him this week, and that sort of thing. 25-1 in this field, Sammy. I don't mind it. I don't love it. But I will say, last time that we saw a signature event, if you hit the rewind button there, is Bay Hill. Where did he win? Yep. Bay Hill, right? Obviously, we got players before, right after that, but he won it on a course up against Scottie Scheffler, up against the greats there, and actually won there at Arnold Palmer's course in Florida there. So I don't mind Russ Henley as well. Are you betting Russ Henley there, Sammy, or are you looking or just kind of where are you with Russ Henley based on what you're seeing there?
So if you're on Golf Twitter or Golf X, you know the Golf Tips profile where they give out the most tipped golfers.
And you're not tipping me right now. I promise you that. I'm on a super cold streak there, Sammy.
Russell Henley was not on that list.
Okay.
So I'm curious as to what the market thinks. If he's not one of the most tipped golfers and somebody like a Colin Morikawa continues to get attention, or somebody, maybe other golfers in the 20 to range, who would that be, like Corey Connors,
yep,
Patrick Cantlay, because of his course history.
Yep.
If his odds push closer to 30, I would get involved, because one of the two issues I have is the price, because while he won at Bay Hill, he had that long stretch of not winning.
Sure.
That makes you a little hesitant with these names like a Victor Hovland,
sure,
who's behind him. And then the other one is the course history is a very roller coaster. He's got top tens here. He's got missed cuts here. When he makes the cut, he's inside the top 30. He's never higher than 6th, but never lower than 26th. But then he missed the cut in 5 of the 11 starts he's had here. So,
Sammy,
maybe the current form is the best way to
think. Yeah, my thoughts here, Sammy, 25-1, I don't know that I'll bet, to be honest, because I'm definitely bleeding units here, thanks to Rory McIlroy and others. I'm looking at you, John Rahm. Didn't do us very much favors there. Same with you, Brooks Koepka there. So what about in a DFS side? Do you think, and to that point, with Golf Twitter not wanting to bet him probably at that 25-1 number, do you see him being popular in the daily fantasy, or would you kind of lean there? Because, I mean, when I don't like betting the top of the board due to odds, I definitely think of one-and-done contests, which I think it could be a decent option there, boom or bust there. Not a lot of people going to use him. And then DFS side there. And I know you play Showdown and do that sort of thing over on DFS. What do you, have you thought on the DFS side for Russ Henley?
He's definitely one of the guys that I have circled for a DFS play. I totally agree on the 25-1. It's probably not something I'm going to get to, especially after the week I had at the Masters last week.
Yeah.
So, in his range, he's 9,700. So he's behind, obviously, Scotty, Aberg, Colin, Xander, JT, Cantlay. But he's right around Connors, who I think is going to be very popular. Lowry is also a course horse here. So I think he's going to get attention. And then Spieth, obviously, he's a course horse here. So I think...
Sammy, before we get your top pick of those, let's give the patrons, just to let them know that they're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you are listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down here at 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of Tropicana Field, downtown St. Pete. And we're streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. If you like this show, we break down golf. Next week, we'll break down the Kentucky Derby. We also threw in some March Madness, obviously, in March there. We got plenty of sports. If you want to hear a sport that we haven't picked up and you're curious of an odds there or our handicap there, obviously, we got NBA playoffs coming up. I know Sammy's looking forward to seeing how far the Cleveland Cavs can go. I know he's got a future in that market. We're always looking at MLB as well. I know he threw in a home run parlay there, little thing going on there. So plenty of sports. Hit us up on X, Champster11 for myself and Sammy AV Betts there. Let us know what sports you want us to break down next. But we also have Mike Rickard, the founder of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Shout out to the Iowa legend himself. Big week for that legend there. He's got 5 shows on the broadcast. Obviously, Better Clubhouse tonight on Tuesdays. Tomorrow, take a break. Read our news letter. Get your bets in. Thursday, you got On the Tee Florida down here at Ferg's, also at Sea Dogs with two pros and a hack. Mike is on the Hack Nation there, along with Joe Rager and Bill Butner and myself on there, and Ashley Grimaldi there with Faces and Places. Then we go Friday for Bump That Media. Joe's special product over there with the boys, talking a little. What are we talking this week, Joe? Are we talking high school? What we got? High school playoffs?
Yeah, we got high school district playoffs for baseball. Talk about the Rays, their start of their season. NFL draft coming up. Some mock drafts, that, and that's pretty much it for us.
Yeah, love that on Friday. So we do that down here at Ferg's. And then Saturday, we got our 11-1 show. Hit up all the sports, show you all the action. If you came down on Ferg's on Saturday, Sammy, you could have hit up some pickleball action. I can still hear the noises in my background, along with a little pups out there. We had a great, I won't try to pronounce and butcher that name, but they had a great outing out here. Come on down here to Ferg's, get some free play on the pickleball courts. We got a stage, we got live music, all the action down here at Ferg's. So once the final, if you're listening and listening to all that on Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and Radio St. Pete, come on down, 13th and Central. So, Sammy, I love Russ Henley, and I didn't mean to go that way as I touted him last week, by all means. But we would be letting our patrons down if we didn't go to the top of the board, obviously. Scottie Scheffler, under 4-1 odds there. Next up, Colin Morikawa, I'm seeing 10-1. Ludvig Åberg, this big Swede, 12-1 there. Xander Schauffele, 14-1. Patrick Cantlay, 16-1 and 20-1. Are 20-1 and bigger the rest. Just your thoughts on the top of the board. I know you mentioned Colin Morikawa. I didn't have him in my top 10 due to his late round one scoring average. He also lost here, like I mentioned earlier segment, to Stuart Sink in the final group. If you can't close out, and don't get me wrong, Stu Sink, Champions Tour out there looking to try to get his first win there. Open champion who still beats Tom Watson there. So Stu Sink, shout out there. But if you can't close the door there, how are you going to close out major champion winners in this field here? But just your thoughts on the top of the board there, Sammy, and if there's any bets that the patrons should really circle and try to hammer home.
Sure. So starting at Scotty, I'm just priced out on Scotty. I think obviously you just acknowledge he can win any and every week at any course. He proved that last year when he won the Masters and then won here the very next week. So I think Scotty is a look there. I think he's too expensive for me in DFS. Ludvig Åberg, I think his driver is negated here, and that's his best weapon. So I'm not really interested in Åberg this week. Colin Morikawa fits the bill kind of like Russell Henley in that he's not somebody that I'm going to bet because of the betting odds. He's only about, what, you said 10-1, 14-1?
Yeah, 10-1.
Yep. He's somebody that I want in DFS, and maybe starting a DFS lineup, Colin Russ,
yeah,
is somewhere I'm going to go this week.
Yeah, I think if you're hitting similar skill sets there, I totally see them being very similar. And actually, Russ Henley's won a golf tournament recently. Right. Unfortunately, Colin Morikawa hasn't. Not a knock on Colin. I think it's – I mean, I can circle a lot of names here. I'm looking at you, Colin. I'm looking at you, Justin Thomas. I'm looking at you, Tommy Fleetwood. I'm looking at who's another one on this list? Sungjae Im, another one. Daniel Berger. These are all guys that are probably going to win eventually. It's just how many units do you want to bleed until they win, right? And I think trying to hope a 10-1 wins and that sort of thing. A lot of people last week were like, are you betting Rory or Scotty? I'm like, no, but go out and parlay them as much as you can. Learn as much hockey and baseball and anything that you can do to get these guys bumped up because they will win. I just can't say a solo bet at that price. I know that we were on him first-round leader last week. I'm curious your thoughts on any thoughts on Xander Schauffele because I don't like the 14-1, but I'm kind of curious. I think he's actually pretty close to being fully back, to be honest with you.
So I'm a Xander fan. I have been monitoring Xander closely. I want to be early on Xander rather than late. I think that's a common consensus. The odds don't really make that too favorable, but he's losing strokes at least two rounds every time he's played this year since he's come back on the greens with the putter.
Yep.
And usually he is somebody that is gaining all four rounds or maybe losing one of the rounds. So
I have him ranked 80th in field strength there, Xander, out of 81 players this week would be Xander Schauffele putting the rock there. Bottom five for those patrons there, Chris Kirk, DFL, Xander second to last, Phillips, JTP, surprising to see him down there, Jonathan Vegas, TK down there, Benny On down there, and Max Homa down there as well. Those are your bottom six players in the field. So, if you can't putt, it's hard to get to that 17 or beggar number that we talked about earlier in the show there, Sammy.
Yeah, totally agree. If you're looking for somebody that can putt, what about Jason Day?
Yeah.
That we haven't really talked about much this week. Showed some signs last week, and I'm kind of going out of left field here. I just noticed his name scrolling down the DraftKings list.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He's kind of the short game guy. Maybe his approach play isn't the best, but he's gained in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of the last 8 rounds on approach. His around the green game, he's only lost once in the last 8 starts. So what do you think of Jason Day?
Jason Day, former winner on the at Austin Country Club there, Sammy, in 2016. In the match play, he finished 5th at Heritage back in 2011. Special day in Rory's life there, 2011 there, start of the Grand Slam there, T9. So his comps, I'm seeing 1st, 5th, 9th, 12th, 17th, 18th, 20th. Don't hate any of those. My only thoughts there, Sammy, and we can see this on the Wednesday newsletter. I'm curious of his putting splits on what kind of greens are we talking? Are we talking POA this week, or are we talking...
POA Travalis.
Yeah, I actually love POA. If he's on POA, I didn't know if we were on POA. POA's a very West Coast place, especially where over in like Torrey Pines, I think is another great comp this week. There, a long, difficult track. Actually, Torrey is more on Corral. Sorry, I'm switching my there. But what I'm actually saying here is Jason Day has great history on the West Coast, where usually POA greens are. I didn't know of any greens over here on POA. Actually, in my home course in Virginia, they actually had POA greens. So if they're POA, I'm actually more interested in Jason Day there. He's got the comp. He's got the game. I appreciated his less than flashy fashion statement. I think Sergio probably takes the cake there as Ronald McDonald on Augusta National. But yeah, I love, I don't mind that. And if I look on an offshore book over here, I can get Jason Day at 45-1. Love that a lot more. I mean, we're getting 450 times the value that we can get in Colin Morikawa. Previous winner, former number one. I don't mind that play as well. That bet once, whatsoever there, Samuel and Jason Day.
Yeah, he's to mention to your point on the putting. He's first in the field in three putt avoidance on these Poetry Palace greens. So that goes right into what you were saying.
Yeah, love that, love that. So for me, I think if I look at the board here and on my deep dive this week, I looked at a player that I think is actually going under the radar, and I think he's either going to have a great week, and either the golf community is going to be like, "Wow, this guy's a stud," or this guy is terrible. And get him off the Ryder Cup team immediately. And that would be none other than Mr. Seb Straka. I think Seb Straka, this is a week that he's either going to put up or he's going to have to shut up, right? As far as, I think there's a lot of naysayers out there as far as, is this guy good or not, right? Did he just go through a hot stretch or not, right? But he's top 25 in this field in tee to green, approach 150-plus. Proximity, ball striking, birdies are better, bogey avoidance, par 3, par 4, par 5 scoring. Five straight here, Sammy, of gaining on the field at least 1.25 with the irons. That's elite level, let alone 1 week. If you can go five straight on that. Last week, he lost with the irons. It was a longer track, or shorter irons. I like him in a long iron game. Also, he lost on off the tee. That was a distance track last week, everybody. Now we're talking position. Yep. This is a TPC Southwind, the place that Seb Straka won. Another, what did I say? TPC, as Sammy broke down. Another Pete Dye design. Yes, the putter is cold, and that is my concern. He's lost on the greens three of the last 5 weeks. He's lost around the green three of the last five. He finished fifth here and last year, third in 2022. He's got that. His comps, 3-5, 25, 28, 30. Love all that. Big test this week, and I'm just curious of where he is. I don't know where he's at, but I think it's one of those that you either like, I don't know, whatever fruit it is, right? You find people that are not in the middle, right? You either really, really like it, or you really, really hate it, right? You either really love orange and blue together, or you really hate it, right, Joe? And I think that we all know that orange and blue don't go together, even though Sammy got his 40-1 on the Gator title there. So
it goes together in my book.
See, exactly. That's a perfect, and that side of the clubhouse, feel free to paint the walls orange and blue. On our side, we're going garnet and gold all night. But on this side, Seb Straka, I'm curious to see where he's at. He's not a bet for me, but he is right there. I think he's right up there. And can he do it with the elites? It's going to be curious to see. And another name that I'll throw out there is a stats guy. I got to be a stats guy. Unfortunately, Corrales. No shot link this week. Corrales, get your game. If you want Shockley, if you want us to be on the better clubhouse there, Corrales, and you want more airtime, you got to have shot link data so we can break down the course for you. But here, stats guy this week is Ryan Gerard. This guy finished second at Valero at a TPC San Antonio. There's those three letters again. He's playing well. He did not play at Augusta, so doesn't there. Irons cooled off, but he did have a heck of a – he's just putting the eyes out on the greens there. He's not a option that a lot of your office buddies or anybody's going to really say, who's this Ryan Gerard? Scottie Scheffler versus Gerard? What is this, right? But I do think his numbers, his stats check the box there. I don't know that he can beat the big boys on Sunday. I'm not saying that, but definitely a sleeper option for DFS. I could see a first-round leader type thing. He's not a popular name, but he is somebody that I would keep in the back of the mind and say, does Champ know what he's talking about? This guy can't find an outright, but let's say, okay, let's check out this Ryan Gerard guy, see where he's at, and that sort of thing. So, Sammy, as we look down the board, any other names? Obviously, the patrons are going to ask about your top 20. Didn't hit the mark last week, but anybody that you circled and actually locked in for your top 20 this week?
I haven't locked anybody in yet, but I do have somebody circled, and that's Aaron Rye. If you want to talk about course comps, I'd like. What do you think of Sedgefield as a comparison to Harbortown?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great positional course there. I do like that. I think that takes a little bit more driver in play there, so I don't see it as more of a shot. I do think it's a second shot course, on that one, but I do think you have to kind of shape it. I also think those greens are a lot bigger there. I know he played well there. I don't hate it as a comp. I think it's still in the state, right? I mean, we're still talking North Carolina for the Wyndham there. Yeah. So I think regional base is good. Also like Aaron Rye. I love the name. I love the game. When I close my eyes and think of Hilton Head, positional, tactical, right there for Aaron Rye, I could see that well. And he was actually, what, first round? He was 400 through nine holes after round one before he but I can't see why. I don't have anything bad to say about Aaron Rye this week for sure.
He's the least errant player off the tee in the field. He's number one in distance from the edge of the fairway. And he's second in good drives gained, and he's fifth in the field in shots gained off the tee on these less than driver courses. So not having the driver probably helps him here. What stood out to me really though is his ability to score not only on par fives but on par fours. This group of par fours is shorter than PGA Tour average, so there's more scoreable, and he's fifth in the field in par four birdie or better percentage, in addition to top 21 in par five birdie or better percentage. The worry I have about him is his short game, the fact that he really hasn't clicked for four rounds yet this year in his short game, and the course history is kind of poor. But for a top 20 and with a winning upside on a positional course like this, I like Aaron Rye. I like the two-glove setup. Maybe if it gets a little too windy, he's got the extra grip on his golf clubs too with the two-glove setup there.
Of course, yeah. I mean, you got to have the head cover. I'll also say Aaron Rye definitely outkicked his coverage in the lady department there. We saw plenty of coverage from the families on the par three. I'd love to see Aaron Rye have a chance there. Definitely shout out to Ms. Rye there. I don't know if he's got the ring, but definitely should link on that one there by all means. There you go, buddy. Couple other names looking down. I think Tom Hoagie will have a great chance when we talk about second shot. We talk approach. We talk putting and that sort of thing. 80-1 I'm seeing out there for him. I actually think Sung J.M., you mentioned Wyndham as a course there. I do think Sung J.M. can piggyback off of that top five finish at Augusta and kind of piggyback that here. Victor Hovland, who just won the Valspar just a couple weeks ago, is another great pick. I actually like Victor for more of a off the tee game. He reminds me a lot like Ludvig Åberg in that regard, but I do think he could go well. In my top 10,
there's
a
name I want to ask you about.
Yeah, go for it.
What about Will Zalatoris?
Will Zalatoris, man, that guy. He made me look good. He is a head scratcher for sure. I think that his stats are really good, but his finishes are not. So there is something in there. I think if you look probably at his scorecard, he's probably got some big numbers in there, I would expect, or not really birdieing. I think a key factor if somebody's going to get over the hill and far winning, if you see a lot of circles on the scorecard, I'm looking at you, Justin Rose, you're right around the corner from winning a golf tournament. I'm telling you that right now. Yeah. It's a lot easier to clean up bogeys and do all that than it is to make circles on a scorecard. So if you're putting up circles, that'll be something in the newsletter there, Sammy. Let's see how many birdies Will Zalatoris has made, and let's just say the last three tournaments, right? And I'm curious over those last 12 rounds. If we see over 12 rounds, and this is where my math, I'd say if we got to see some birdies on there. If he's averaging, I don't know, six a round, I'll like that. If he's under that or around four or five, and then he has a double and that just kills him. But he's one of those guys that's lingering. He's got the stats. He just doesn't have the finishes. And that's probably why you're seeing 80-1. But it's also better to be early on Will Zalatoris than paying up. If I had to bet between Will Zalatoris or, let's see, in that same type of range, Tony, I'm curious on, right there with Tom Hoagie is 80-1 as well. A guy that I really like that's in my top 10 that could go really well this week and checks every single box, including that Wyndham one he's won there, would be Lucas Glover. I think that's a guy, tee to green specialist there. I don't know if his putter can get warm enough, but you're betting on the putter there. I actually like him, probably a first-round leader bet. He throws it there. He's done it. That's a name that I would kind of look at there on that side. But another name.
I'm trying to model too. I like Glover.
I expected you to say there, Sammy, was Bud Cauley. Bud Cauley that cast your top 20, looked very good. His stats are there. Nothing to hate after his T5 finish just in his last start there. And then takes a week off for, I'm sure. I mean, when you finish that, nobody knows when you're
when you're Justin Thomas's best friend and Jordan Spieth, that's just what happens to you as Bud Colley there. So, all right, Sammy, anything you've locked in so far for the patrons before we do a very rapid breakdown? What am I doing, Sammy? I broke down the best sign. What am I doing here? I gotta give the patrons this angle. It worked last week. We might as well do it this week, right, Sammy?
Let's do it.
So me and Olivia, my oldest daughter, go to the Rays game in Steinbrenner Field last Wednesday. We go to the game. What happens in the first inning, Sammy? A grand slam. What did I text the boys? Rory McIlroy, grand slam, hits the slam, wins that. Sammy, what shows up in my mailbox on Monday afternoon as I'm trying to break down this field? None other, and this is where it takes a turn for the clubhouse, and I apologize for that. It was a cremation introduction. A cremation meaning that at a funeral you can either be buried or cremated. It's like, hey, come see our lunch. We're hosting it so we can talk about being cremated. I'm like, what in the hell? But I'm like, I got it, Joe. I know what the stars are aligning. Sam Burns. I'm looking at you, Sam Burns. Got to burn it there. 90-1. Like that angle there. What are your thoughts on Sam Burns? Anything that you're seeing there, reading the tea leaves? I could do about anything right now, Sammy, to try to hit a winner. I mean, 90-1, proven winner. Loves Valspar. I see that comp right now. Obviously, multi-winner there. I'm kind of talking myself into it. I'm not going to lie. And I'll probably have to put something on it. And I'll just have to keep my eyes open to the universe there. Any thoughts on Sam Burns there?
There's nothing from like a statistical standpoint that I can get behind with Sam Burns, but you know, you can't really argue with the way that stars align sometimes. And I think the price is definitely affordable that you can fit him on the card with a couple other golfers. And it's one of those things where you're just hoping for the breakthrough week. Like his putter's going to be fine. You just want the irons to come back, or at least the around the green game to supplement the putting.
Hey, if Max Homa can do it for a week at Augusta, there's no reason Sam Burns can't do it at a public golf course. He also finished ninth here in his first time, 44th last year and 15th there. I see some form. I'm going for it. Clubhouse pick. Well, I'm actually going to put it on the line right now for the patrons, Sammy, because we got to do this one and done as well. I'm going to go Sam Burns one and done in a signature event, 90-1. Write it down. I'm sorry, Russ Henley. I am, but I can't go around signs, especially when you're on a one-for-one heater on signs there. Sam Burns, lock me in. Sammy, who's your one and done pick for the week? And now that you got a nice lead.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jason Day.
Wow. Okay. We're going to go Jason Day versus Sam Burns. Probably not the two names that you expected from the patrons there. All right.
We dig deep here at the Better Club.
I hear it. I mean, and we bet off of and we bet off of mailers that come in my mailbox on a Monday. So, it worked last week. Might as well ride it and see what happens. Right, Sammy?
What about Alejandro Tosti?
I like this. I like that. I love this. So he's mentioning the Corrales Putacana Championship we wrote about in our newsletter today. We've got 180 seconds here to wrap up this. About as much as I want to give love to a no-shot link event there in Putacana, going off the same way, opposite field event. Full 140-man field, full cuts. And my top 10 is none other than Alejandro Tosti. Got to love Tosti cremation. We're getting very dark humor here. You either love it or you hate it. Another name I really like this week, and a guy who actually first round leadered here at Corrales, that's none other than Alex Smalley. He is at the top of the board for a reason. This guy's the real deal. He's actually got the stats. He's a stats guy. I also mentioned this to Sammy. I can't hit a winner for my life, so I wouldn't recommend this. Heaven forbid I hit two in a row. Sammy, Smalley, and go Smalley and go Scotty as a double there. I don't know. I have to check out the odds there, just depending on where you're at. 4-1. I know Smalley's the top of the board over there. So those are two names I like. I actually like that angle on Alejandro Tosti there. I actually had him in my top 10. Alex Smalley right now, 18-1. So I really like that. And if I had to throw another name out there, I really like Balmers. This name kind of cost me. He couldn't hit a wedge last time out. Tosti, 40-1, by the way, there, Sammy. I'm seeing Rico Hoey, I really like, at 30-1. Any names kind of piqued your interest there as you look on the opposite field event there, Sammy?
The Bomber course, I immediately thought of Tosti just because he's the type of guy that fits that. But I pulled up while you were talking on FanDuel. I know you can't get FanDuel in Florida, but Scotty Smalley parlay is 86-1.
Hey, that's pretty good. I think we can afford that, and also that's like buying the Publix brand of a product instead of buying like the expensive brand. And that's kind of where we're at on this, Sammy. When we're down deep in there, I know Sammy probably enjoying still riding his coattails of the Florida Gators 40-1 ticket. You got any units still left on that, Sammy, or did we burn them all for at Augusta's Pro Shop?
Oh no, I took some out, but I did burn some at the Masters too.
You got
the band's picking up there.
Got to, yeah. Party down here happening. Sammy, looking forward to it. Thanks as always. Catch him at Sammy AV Bets. He'll take off next week. Well deserved there. Thanks for hopping on there, Sammy, as you do each and every Tuesday.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate you.
You've been listening to the Better Clubhouse, a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection broadcast live from the 19th Old Clubhouse Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. For Sammy Sharps, Joe Geiger on the controls, Radio St. Pete's Joe Berdeau, and the mastermind behind the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, Mike Rickard, I am Champ Sharp, and thank you for listening to the Better Clubhouse. God bless you, and God bless you.